World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I'm doing clearing something here on my phone. I was just thinking about something here as we're getting ready to go live. I guess we are live right now. I've always, for most of my life, I've been a rule follower. Michelle's ultra rule follower. She doesn't want to break any rules. If it says don't step on the line, she'll never step on the line. She's a rule follower. And I guess I'm sort of a, not a rule breaker, but I kind of challenge the status quo. I think I've always kind of done that my whole life. Not in a malicious way, not in a my way or the highway kind of thing. I've just always, my whole life, thought, is that true? And is there a better way to do it? Not. And, you know, it's really amazing because, you know, Steve Deck's still around here. Praise God for Steve Deck and Bob Evans and those Mark Trump and those guys that can think. And my brain doesn't work like that. They're very, very analytical and very analytical and mechanical ways and building things and I mean and way machinery operates and I'm not. And I guess I'm sort of like what they said about Bobby Kennedy. You guys remember Bobby Kennedy, that the quote that they attributed to him, which I may kind of screw up here today. Some men see things as they are and ask why. I ask things that aren't and ask why not. And that's kind of the way. Why can't we be champions? It was kind of my theme. Why can't we do this? Why can't we be undefeated? Why can't we? That's always been kind of, I mean, that's the way, I guess that's the way the bread was baked when the Lord created me. And it gets me in trouble sometimes, but I've never been afraid of trouble. I've never been afraid of people not agreeing with me or people not liking me. And then when I got born again, saved by the Holy Spirit and dwelling with the Holy Spirit, I even less and less and less cared what people think. Really, really. I mean, I care what you think. I don't purposely say things, try to hurt people, but I realize that Jesus Christ said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that if I deny truth, I deny him. And if I keep my mouth shut in the midst of lies, I am not faithful to him. It'd be like they're having a contest for the prettiest woman having a beauty contest. And I'm one of the judges, and I'm sitting there at the beauty contest, and all these beautiful women are coming across. And then my wife comes across, and I don't vote for her. I say, I love her, but I ain't voting for her. And that's kind of the way I've always felt about my faith. Why does my faith have to take back seat? Why does somebody who wants to have sex, one man wants to have sex with another man, why does his rights take priority over mine? How did that happen to us? And so, you know, for those of you out there who can't understand, we're all cut from different cloth. We're all made different ways. And I don't try to bring things here on this gathering of folks to make anybody mad. And I promise you I don't. But I see how some men see things as they are and ask why. Others see the things the way they aren't and ask, why not? Why? That's me. I'm a why not guy. And a lot of us like certain things because it brings comfort and joy to our lives. Jeff Klein gets up every morning, and I know Jeff pretty well, but I think Jeff Klein gets up every morning and figures, how can I cause a little bit of trouble here today? But he's not trying to cause trouble. He's trying to advance the kingdom. And no matter how much you say to him, Jeff, take it easy, relax. He can't get away. Would that be true, Jeff? You can't get away from it. You'd like to not do it, but you can't get away from it.
Amen.
Right? So, and we have to understand the gifts and the talents and that others have. And Steve Deck was around yesterday, as I said. And I mean, his mind is totally there couldn't be two minds more different than me and Steve Deck. Analytically, I'm talking about, right? And so we have to be able to give each other one another grace, because Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will set you free. Folks, truth doesn't set you free. Truth, if you know it, sets you free. And so the battle we have is not only over truth, but is in the acknowledgement of the truth, knowing the truth, teaching the truth, speaking the truth, standing for the truth. And the promise is they're going to hate you if you do that. That's part of the war. That's part of the conflict that goes on. Yeah, Jack, instigate and stimulate. Why that? Why? Who says, for instance, I'm not going to get, I'll get going here a minute. Can somebody explain to me, I did some research this morning, why do we have a two-party system? Why do all Democrats have to be pro-homo? And all Republicans be anti-homo? Why is there only a yin? Why is it just a yin and a yang? Why aren't there different yangs? Why aren't there? And why at an election do you have to go and you have to vote? Oh, you can vote. You can vote all these little minor parties and your conscience will feel better. But why can't there be a Republican why can't there be a Democrat who wants to protect babies? Aren't there any of those out there at all? Nobody, no Democrats in the Congress? Well, see, they have to take what they call the party line. Why there's only two parties? Why is there only the yin and the yang? Because that's done by design. It's the divide and conquer. It's you have to make a choice of which side you're going to be on. But see, it really isn't a side. It really isn't. And they keep us enslaved by our loyalty to a party that holds a particular position. So I could be pro. Let me give you a good example. It's hard. See, I'm so right-wing conservative, I can't think of a left-wing position that I would support. Anybody out there remember when the Democrats, when the liberals used to be the ones who were for individual liberty? Anybody remember that? They used to be the one for individual liberty. And now they're not anymore. But they are for individual liberty regarding murdering babies. But they're not for individual liberty regarding my right to freely say what I think. They're not for that. They're not for individual liberty in their schools where we would teach Christian fundamentals. They're not for that anymore. So somewhere along the line, this whole thing got mixed up. And can I tell you the truth? Church hadn't caught up to it yet. And if things were, if we really, really wanted to fight this war the way the fight war ought to be fought, then it really ought to be a Christian party against a non-believers party. That's the yin and the yang. Christian believers and the non-believers. Let that be the two parties. And then let those two parties decide over the policy if they wanted to operate in a democracy, which we don't have a democracy. Okay, I got that out of me. I got some good stuff today. Gene's got his hand up, so I'm going to let Gene come in. Then Bobby, you get ready, because I want to talk. Go ahead. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the way I understand it, if I'm wrong, please somebody correct me. The two-party system, before we had the two-party system, when we voted, it was whoever got the most votes was president, and the second one was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the banking system come in through the Federal Reserve, they created a two-party system so we would fight against each other. Sure. So we'd be so desperate fighting for what we think is right, and they could go behind closed doors and create the money system that we have.
That's where we are. That money system's coming down, the Federal Reserve system. We're so ignorant about finances. Right? Think about this, folks. When you graduate from high school, I graduated in 1971. We used to have what they called business classes. And they taught you to write checks and how to balance a budget and all that stuff. There are no business classes in schools anymore. Kids graduate from high school and they can't balance a check. They don't even know what a checkbook is. They can't balance a checkbook. They have no understanding of financial things and interest and compound interest. And they have no understanding of that. And friends, that's by design. It's by design. And so when the Federal Reserve System and all that was created early, it all worked out pretty good. It all worked out, right? Now look what's happened to it. I don't want to get bogged down on this. I'm trying to just help you to see where we are. And that it's our job to pass the torch. John F. Kennedy said, pass the torch to a new generation of Americans. And we've passed a torch. We are passing a torch, but it ain't a very good torch. It's a flame thrower that we're passing. And the only way righteous change is going to come is if righteous people demand it, folks. Righteous people have to demand change. We have to stand up. We have to speak up. We have to make a difference. That's kind of the theme of where we're going today. And before I get too deep into it, go ahead. Jack's got his hand. I want to get Bobby in here before we get deep. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, but in principle, what Gene said is correct, except he can go all the way back to Washington's one of Washington's addresses, and he was telling us at the time that the party system would destroy our republic. Yep. And so they were working at it from the beginning, because it's always been that way. But it just got entrenched and rooted because of exactly what Washington was referring to. The principle was flawed.
Amen. So, folks, I'm going to open your eyes to something here today, as the Holy Spirit always does. This is going to be good. Let me flip up. I'm in the wrong place. Flip right there, Coach. So if you can hold off your questions, give me a minute or two here to get rolling, and we'll show you something. Bobby Lee, we got a big thing coming up this weekend. What do you got going on, Bobby? And I'm sorry I'm so late getting more information out there about it.
Yeah, this weekend, Saturday, is going to be a great event. It seems to be blowing up, and other groups are getting involved. Dr. Frank is presenting, and we got the venue at Cabela's in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. It's a great place, the biggest Cabela's in the nation, right? And I feel honored that we were able to pull this off. So we got Dr. Frank presenting about election fraud, and if you're not aware that this is that they're going to do this again if we don't all stand up and pass and act like we care. So Dr. Frank is presenting that, and another speaker from the John Birch Society, which is a professional organization educating people throughout the past decades and generations about what Jack just mentioned, which is the conspiracy that has been around since the beginning of this nation, right? So we got John Birch Society for an hour, and then the rest of the entire afternoon is the incredible presentation by Dr. Frank, breaking it down how the last election was stolen county by county, and how they own all the delegates across the nation. And for us to think that this is in the bag without mass elective voter fraud upcoming, we continue to live in our own unicorn land.
That's right. That's right. And folks, again, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I think it's Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is. The fellowship again of this 7-hour event will be, it'll be good. We'll eat together. We'll laugh together. We'll lie together. So if you're anywhere out there, I would just encourage you just to, Bobby, where do they, is there a place to stay there, Bobby? What do they do?
There are a couple of places to stay. I mean, the Microtel Inn, reach out to Microtel Inn in Hamburg. There's all kinds of good places to eat. We're going to gather at a certain spot on Friday evening. But go to Coach Dangle.
I'm sorry, Bobby. My point is there's no one hotel everybody's staying at. They can get their own, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One primary hotel. And if you go to CoachDaveLive.com and you can see more details on the event page, open it up, go there, get some details. And my contact information is there if you need to reach out to me for questions. But this is something that you're going to want to be a part of. Time is short in a lot of different directions. You can take that however you want.
Bobby, do you think we'll be able to stream some of this? Have you thought about that?
I'm gonna record it. It's not gonna be live streamed, but it will be up and posted by Sunday afternoon the next day.
Okay, cool. All right, folks. So if you can get there, look, I'm not letting any moss grow under my feet, my wife and I. So I appreciate everything that Bobby's doing, everything that's going on out there, and. There's another thing on the event page. Pull that up for me as well. That's happening the same weekend. Ray LeBlanc, what's going on up there? And how can we pray for what's going on up there in Marshfield this weekend?
I don't know. Is my mic working okay?
Yes.
Yeah. We're getting real close to it too. And like I say, it's the first time ever with the Family Festival event. It's the sort of like the closure to what J.R. Harrison's vision was and Rob Pugh's about the natural family movement. We are expecting a fairly large turnout, and it's a lot of hands-on activities for the children so that they are able to have a place to meet together and reenact with their parents and their grandparents. Remember, Coach, before the television was invented back in the 50s, people, what did they do? They went to the park and they met together and they congregated at the park. That's where they interacted with each other and engaged with each other and got to know each other. And that's what we're trying to reestablish. And by doing that, you're getting more connected with your own community again, and you're having a voice in your community. And it's going to be a lot of other things to do there. With there's a Genesis Museum coming in, a big, large mobile Genesis Museum, showing them hands-on projects, hands-on activities to do, such as building a birdhouse together. Rob Pugh's going to head up the lemonade stand. We're got an official-looking lemonade stand built. And each child, we got a help wanted sign from 5 to 13. You come and you run that lemonade stand. We supply everything. It's all free to the public. And they make a profit off of it for 50 cents a cup to sell it, and they get to keep the profit. They get to build a big, large playhouse. The Mennonites have been really helpful in doing that. So, you know, and on and on, we got a lot of stuff on the plate and a lot of balls I'm shuffling at one time. But
amen.
It's going to be a fun thing. And also, Coach, the underlying theme to this whole thing is we're going to share the gospel. We got Way of the Master there. Our table is going to have gospel tracts, free Bibles. Your table is there, introducing everybody to Coach. The Wisconsin newspapers will be there. Multiple things going on all there. So it's going to be all good. Yeah. Praying for every weekend we've had rain, but they're looking for no rain this Saturday. Praise the Lord.
We tip our cap to you, Ray. I tip our cap to you and to Dave Allison and to Neil and Mary and to JR and to everybody that's involved doing things right where you are. And I wish I had the time to let everybody come on. Well, maybe we'll make a time to everybody come on and tell what it is they're doing, because I'm going to say this and pat myself on the back. There ain't no ministry in America like this one. There isn't anyone. And we try to do everything we can financially to support every one of these little things that are going on. No, we don't have millions of dollars to throw around like the others do, but we try to help fund all this stuff as well. So we're on your team, and you're on our team, and Ray, we're proud of you, and thank and stand with you and support.
One last thing, Coach. I did get the mayor to sign to read that proclamation that's been done in Ohio at that Saintsville one. And one other one was done in New Hampshire, but she's going to be next on the list. So.
All right, so folks, what was it? Boy, who said it? My brain. That we run around creating little brush fires in the minds of men. One of the founding fathers said that. That's how we advance the kingdom, by setting brush fires in the minds of men. And folks, we have to do it. We have to do it. God's people, God's team has to do it. And nobody said it would be easy. Nobody said it would that everybody would love you and hug you for doing it. Nobody said millions of dollars were going to flow in. But it's our job to what? To expand the kingdom. Goodness and mercy is going to follow us as we continue to move forward. So I salute you, Ray and Craig Mickle. I could go on. I can name 20 people right now who are doing great, great ministry work. And they're doing great, great ministry work because Coach Dave Live said nothing more than, you can do it and we stand behind you. You can do it, and we stand behind you. That's really what we're about. Jeff Klein just had a victory in Mount Vernon yesterday. He was getting sued over, you know, Jeff has a car lot, and he was getting sued for supposedly bad business practices or whatever. And Jeff, take a minute and a half, and you won that victory yesterday, right, Jeff?
Yes, we did. It's like, you know, Mary Jane said she was praying all morning and for days, but just, you know, here's a guy that goes in and lies. just flat out lies. Thought he had some credibility. And I think the whole thing come down to, because me and Tom Condit walked into the courtroom. We checked in, said, okay, we're here for our case. They looked at it and said, you have no case on the docket. Tom looked at me real weird, like, what? He drove up here 3 hours one way, stayed in a hotel. So I think the guy wanted to sue me for $6,000. Now, if it's really true, and I really did do something fraudulent, why did he dismiss it last Monday? That guy dismissed his own case, submitted to the courts and said, oh, due to health reasons, I got to dismiss this case.
That's they didn't let you know. They didn't even notify you.
No, me or Tom, neither one got notified. Now it just cost me $1,000, probably roughly, for Tom. All his time and travel. That guy, I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous.
It is. It's a victory, though. Huh? It's a victory.
Amen. It's behind me now.
That's right. Hey, folks, some of this is going to take some skin in the game, baby. I'm sorry. It would be nice if you push a button and win, but that ain't sometimes it's a long, hard slug to get it all done. The Bible says that he who endures to the end, so you can't just endure to the beginning. You just can't endure to the halfway mark. You just can't endure to the three quarters of the way mark. Nobody picks up, Bible says no one, what is that scripture? What? Nobody puts his hand to the plow and looks back. And if you do put your hand to the plow and look back, does anybody know what the Bible says? It says you're not worthy of the kingdom. If you put your hand to the plow and you make a decision that you're going forward with this and you look back, you're not worthy of it, it says, because it's by faith, man. It's by faith. And it's going to cost you a lot. And sometimes Jeff probably got more time, effort, energy, worry, money involved with fighting the damn thing than he did if he'd have just paid it, right? So that's kind of the way it is, man. The devil just wants to weigh us down. Judah, I really got some good stuff today. Hang in there with me a second. Go ahead, Judah.
Yeah, I thought it would be good. I don't know if people are open to it. I would be. I do have some signs. And this weekend, actually not Thursday and Friday, Faith Life Church is having Flashpoint in. So this is a very large event under the tent. But I think it would be incredible to where the wall builder's table is set up. Why don't we just put a Coach Dave table, Coach Dave live table, right next to the wall builder's table? Yeah. I don't think David and Tim Barton should have a problem with that. I think it should be really, really good. And then the natural family should be able to have a table, and maybe we can put their the flags up and some signs up along the street there. I think it's just awareness for people to be able to have an option to be able to understand ministry.
Amen. So, amen. Because, folks, listen, a lot of the national ministries, I'm just going to tell you the truth. They're so money-driven and money-focused. And the reason that is it takes money. It takes money to do it. And so, therefore, when you're dependent on donations, you have to tread lightly in what you support, because when you take some of these hard positions, you lose support. Does anybody know what I'm saying? I live it. And so when you get to the point where you got to have big operation, money coming in, got to hire your secretaries, pay their retirements and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. It's easy to get the truth squeezed a little bit and say, we're not really going to talk about that. We're just going to share the gospel. We're just going to talk about the gospel and say, well, what about homosexuality? Shouldn't we be, we're just going to share the gospel. And it's not really that they want to just share the gospel. It's they know that it's going to bring conflict and they're going to lose money and they're going to lose supporters. And they don't want to do that, friends. They don't want to do that. At the height of the homosexual battle, back however many years that would have been, 1980, I don't know where it was, James Dobson and the boys could have taken a hard, Mike Heath, I wish Mike Heath was in here. He could tell you some stories about how the Family Research Council and how they buckled on the homosexual debate back in the 1980s. And why did they buckle on the homosexual debate? Because some of their donors didn't want to go there. I live it. I know what he's talking about. The Bible says you shall know the truth. The truth, if you know it, shall set you free. So that's what we're about here, man. Stand up. Hey, Give your money to them. Go ahead. Go ahead. Give it to them. Not going to change what we're going to talk about and what we're going to do. No, just not going to do it. Why? Because we have stayed very, we don't have a whole bunch of employees. We just don't. And so that's given us the freedom to say, sorry if you're leaving us. Sorry. We're marching on, baby. We're marching on. Cool. All right. I got something I want to throw up there today. Wait a minute. Does anybody have their hand up? I'm looking here. Nobody's got their hand up. Can I switch gears on you? Say, sure you can, coach. It's your show. We'll switch gears. I want to connect something here. I don't know if you guys have ever thought about it. Pull up number five. I didn't even see who the producer was. Pull up number five. Because we know this. Thank God for Dale Socia. Dale, by the way, is up at, he went to the Niagara Falls. Yes, took the family up there. Not that one. I don't think that's the one I want. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm going to get there in a minute. I told you the wrong one. Bring up number three before we go there. Louisiana's law signed. I think we talked about this the other day. It's the first state in the United States to require 10 commandments in the classroom. First state. If we have any gumption at all, we ought to right now be raising up a coalition right here in Ohio to do it here in Ohio as well. Oh, yes, the Supreme Court's going to rule. Oh, yes, they are. See, folks, they can post homo flags and say that that's not religious, but it's, come on, it's secularism. What do you mean that's not religion? It's humanism. What do you mean that's not humanism? And we've had people sitting sitting on the Supreme Court who don't understand that humanism is a religion. Secularism is a religion. It's a belief system. So it hasn't been no religion in the schools. It's been what religions in the schools, right? And so we ought to grab, just like we ought to next year, grab this pro-family, natural family movement and boom, every church in America be doing it. You know that could happen, right? Every church in America could be doing it. But will people like the Family Research Council support it when in fact they might lose the support of somebody who has a gay son? You give us what's going on here? So I've been telling you for how long we're winning. Look down on Louisiana, first state to require the 10 commandments posted in the classroom. And what's the big deal about the posting of the 10 commandments? It's a connection to our heritage, our Christian heritage. By the way, they call it Judeo-Christian. I don't buy that crap. Sorry, I don't buy that crap. I'm going to show you why here in just a second. But it's a connection to our history. The Ten Commandments were that the founding bedrock of America, belief in the Ten Commandments. 1980, they pulled them down, and look what's happened. So now they're going to post them back up. But I got something, another perspective I want to come at you on. How come? See, Jesus Christ came. See, this is one of these moments. Some of you are going to get mad. Jeff, should I make him mad? Is it okay if I make him mad? I just knew two people to tell me it's okay to make him mad.
Yep.
Jeff, okay?
Yep.
Anybody else give me an okay?
You got it. Go for it.
Okay. That's all I need. The rest of you can go away if you don't want to. I'm gonna bring something up to you that maybe will make you think a little bit differently. Perhaps it will, right? Can I tell you something? Ten Commandments pretty daggone hard, aren't they? Ten Commandments pretty hard to follow. So Jesus realized that they were hard to follow. He said, boys, there's only two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as your fat self. So just keep those two for me, will you? And I'm not making fun of the Ten Commandments. No, I'm not. But I'm talking about really the message of Christ. There's a lot of messages of Christ. What about if we began to post in our churches? What if we began, excuse me, to post in our schools the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes. Say, Coach, what? Yeah. The Beatitudes. You know what the Beatitudes are? Why, they're straight out of the mouth of Jesus. That's number four. Bring it up, will you? What if we begin to post in our schools the Beatitudes? Do you guys know what they are? I found this on, I love the internet because you can always find everything. The Beatitudes, the list and verse meaning explain. What if we posted these in the schools. There are 8 Beatitudes. I'm not going to read down. Keep going. We're going to go down to them. Put this in the chat because you can all go back and read it. But here it is right there. Jesus began his teaching with 8 statements. Now, we know God had wrote 10. Okay, we get that. But Jesus shows up. He says there ain't 10. There's 8. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said there ain't 10. There's only 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Second one's like the first one. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so he says, here's how you do that. He said, the Beatitudes teach us that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean in heart, pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And blessed are they who are persecuted for sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, friends, I'm not against the Ten Commandments, but don't we need this more today than the Ten Commandments? Don't we need this being taught to our children more than the Ten Commandments? Because this is the nuts and the bolts and the heart of where we are and the idea of what the invasion of the kingdom of God inside your heart, what should it create? Well, it creates the exact opposite of what we see in the natural realm. In the natural realm, in order to be important, you got to go up. In the spiritual realm, in order to be exalted, you have to be humbled. You have to humble yourself. It's the exact opposite of what we see. Do you understand? And it's an attitude of loving your brother in place of, it's such a fine line. The legalism of the do's and the don'ts to the personal humility of who you are and your own personal walk. Why don't we teach the Beatitudes? Put that back up there, Spence, if you would. Put that back up there. So here's the context of the Beatitudes in Scripture. Scroll them down. The Beatitudes were delivered by Jesus Christ during his Sermon on the Mount, a significant, well-documented event. Jesus had just begun his ministry, and numerous healings and demon extractions and miracles and teachings. And he drew a crowd of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon flocked around him in hopes to be touched by Jesus' healing power, which literally flowed from him, it tells us in Luke. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went to the nearby mountainside, prayed all day and all night. When morning came, he called his disciples and designated 12 of them as the apostles. And the hordes followed and clamored for Jesus' attention. Jesus preached powerful sermons that exposed error and breathed revelation during his ministry on earth. In his Sermon on the Mount, our Lord revealed 8 mysterious promises for kingdom living. How often have you heard me talk about the kingdom of God is within? Kingdom living. In awe and wonder, the disciples marveled at Jesus' explanation of the Beatitudes. Knowing that didn't Nicodemus come and say, Nicodemus, who was like one of the chief, he was like the head bishop. Yeah, I mean, he shows up and says, dude, this stuff that you're teaching, where are you getting this stuff? Because no man could come up with this. And what did Jesus say? Hey, Nick, you gotta be born again, dude. See, it led into the idea, the understanding, if it's not about rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and follow this and follow, it's not about any of that, dude. It's about a changed heart. You get born again. He that was outside of you is now inside you, and everything changes from the inside out, as opposed to the Ten Commandments, which are rules and regulations that the natural man cannot follow. Would somebody give me an amen on that? The natural man cannot follow the Ten Commandments. You can't, folks. You can't. How often every day are you tempted to lie? Come on. Every day tempted. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm tempted sometimes to not say the truth. I'm not talking about having manners and being nice, right? But this, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. You do that really, folks? You really do that? No, you don't. Some of you love Facebook more than your Bible. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. All right. So those are impossible laws to impossible. Impossible. So what were the meanings of the Beatitudes? This is really, this is an opinion, but it's pretty good. Scroll on down, Spence. Must be sleeping on me. The first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, the laws were given by God through Moses to bring mankind to the understanding that humans possess no inherent goodness of their own. They have no ability to draw close to a Holy Ghost apart from perfection. You can't be perfect. You need Christ to be perfect. Go to the next one. Poor in spirit, feel a deep sense of spiritual destitution. The second one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus' listeners were no strangers to mourning. Folks, how many people do you come in contact with who are in a continual state of mourning? They're not happy in their marriage. They're not happy with their children. They're not happy with their job. They're in a state of mourning. And the Beatitude says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed. Don't follow rules and regulations. See, this brings a separation, causes us emptiness and pain. And those who experience it will often attempt to self-medicate through distraction, beer, drugs, right? What's the third one? The third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus spoke these words to a group who have found this statement perplexing. Folks, the meekness Jesus spoke of and lived out was far from weakness. He chose to surrender his rights. He willingly laid it down. Nobody made him do it. And if you look at the picture of meek in the Bible, it's a picture of a wild stallion with a bit in his mouth. Blessed are the meek. Power under control. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. And then what Paul said, oh, wretched man I am. I don't want to be like this. Well, the third Beatitude says, the meek are going to inherit the earth. And we're going to inherit the earth. Fourth Beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hey, friends, come on now. You hunger and thirst for righteousness? Really? Hunger and thirst. You ever been hungry? You ever been on about day 21 of a 40-day fast? You know what it means to hunger and thirst? Do you really in your heart, as an ambassador of Christ to a lost and fallen world, do you really hunger and thirst for righteousness in America? Do you really? I don't think you do. I don't think you do. Because why? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Many today, like those on the hill listening to Jesus' message, desire to tap into Jesus' power for personal needs, like healing, prosperity, and wisdom. But Jesus knew the only thing that would truly satisfy their souls and ours is the righteousness of God. And Jesus told us, go ye into all the world, teach them to observe. The fifth Beatitude, what's the fifth one? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Oh, baby, could we learn a little bit of that one? Huh? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Oh, we're big on that. But boy, if somebody gives you a personal offense, you're going to be on the phone. You're going to be texting everybody, telling everybody what that person did to you, going around angry, hurting, bleeding all over about it. Why? Because you ain't merciful. You ain't merciful. Lord, change his heart. Lord, change my heart towards him. Lord, that balm of Gilead that you brought into my life, Lord, touch him with it. As opposed to picking up a phone, calling somebody, say, you know what he just did? Do you believe what he just did? You don't have to say amen. I know I'm stepping on some toes. It's okay. Well, God's work of creation demonstrated his mighty power. God's work of redemption revealed his love, shown through his mercy and grace. This very love of God is indispensable and for the existence of life and the salvation of humanity. Mercy is an active virtue that Christians can show each other because we have been given mercy. In other words, pick up the phone, say, I'm sorry. Sixth Beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's different, isn't it, than the Ten Commandments? These are heart issues, folks. These are issues of the heart. Be pure in heart is to have a single-minded devotion to seek God and yield to his ways. To expand on this thought, Jesus later reiterated the first and greatest Old Testament command to his followers is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Because no one can boast of a sin-free heart. God sent his son to redeem us. When we cling to him, he purifies our hearts and makes us whole. Wow. Huh? Seventh beatitude. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Not a peacekeeper. Not a peacekeeper. Peacemaker. Peacemaker invites in the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace sometimes comes with a sledgehammer. And the Prince of Peace says what my dad would say to me, not my house, boy. You ain't doing that in my house. He's the Prince of Peace because he demands obedience to his laws and his precepts. You obey those, you're going to be called the children of God, because out of you is going to ooze. For he himself is our peace. He has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace. To realize we can't keep those commandments, but there's only two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as your fellow. And the eighth one, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Man. So friends, sometimes you don't want to say the hard thing because you're going to be persecuted, especially to the ones you love. You don't want to, hey, your son, my son, everybody's son, he's out there whoring around, sleeping with different women, doing all that. And you don't want to say anything because your relationship with him is pretty, it's not very good anyway. You know, it's really, if I say that, it's just going to make him mad. It's just going to drive him farther away from the Lord. Really? You think the Lord approves of his adultery? And you allow him to bring this woman that he's living with into your home? I know I'm getting close to it. I know I'm getting close to it. And when you stand up and say to your son or to your daughter, I'll use daughter, sweetheart, I love you, but if you're going to continue to whore around with that guy, don't come here. That's what it says. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of what? Righteousness. And sometimes, mom and dad, you got to draw the line and say to the Lord, Lord, I've done all I can do. Please bring somebody across her path. You get it? You understand this? And that they will know at some point they will always see if we let them know, if we let those we love think that we wink and nod at sin, their personal sin, that it's okay, Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Doobie Brothers, right? If your sin, if your child's sin is just all right with you, then they assume it must be just all right with Jesus too, right? Because why? You're the bearer of the kingdom, man. See, these are really, really tough times because we're in a war. We're in a war. Christianity's tough. It ain't for sissies. And we've sissified it. Roger, come on in. I think I got through all of them, didn't I? Put them in the chat so others can read those.
Oh, I was just thinking about T.J. Jakes and whether you love him or not. His attitude is pretty prevailing. You know, there's a lot of thoughts of him and B. Diddy or Diddy B, whatever his name is, parties he's had. And his comment was so casual. Well, if I did do that, all I got to do is go ask for forgiveness. That was it.
Yeah.
It was just so simple. And I know forgiveness is simple. I understand it's not complex if your heart is right. But it was like, hey, you know, if I was at some of his parties and doing the yin-yang and all that,
Yeah.
If I did, all I got to do is, you know,
say, I'm sorry.
I say, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord.
Yep.
What's the word? It's called something grace. You know, cheap simple grace. Cheap grace.
Yeah.
But I think there's a genuine attitude out there because of that. The idea that, hey, you know, well, life's all right. I made a few mistakes. Lord, just forgive me. And let's keep on rolling, baby.
Amen.
That seems to be the general attitude of sin anymore. And I don't say that lightly. I've got to look at myself in the mirror every day, too, to make sure. But that just seems to be a cheap grace out there, you know. No fear of consequence of your actions.
No fear of parents, no fear of the boss, no fear. The only one they're afraid of is the government, because the government, government ain't loving. They come down with a fist, don't they? Huh? Oh, yeah, they do for sure. So, you know, that's the gospel we're preaching for sure. Excuse me. Cheap grace, right? Mm. Wow. Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. On the topic today, I wanted to bring this up. I'm really not qualified to bring this up, but I was learning about some Middle Eastern, their culture and things that they would do. And it made things that Jesus said made a lot more sense. So you'll hear people take verses out of the Bible, words of Jesus, like turn the other cheek. And we think, oh, okay, that means they smack me on one, I turn this way, smack me on the other. It's almost like, okay, just be a doormat for Jesus. But that is not what he was saying at all. Once you understand their culture, it was a way of basically peacefully protesting. And let me just explain why real quick. So, okay, you see in the movies where you get backhanded, that is like how they would, if you were of lesser stature, you would be backhanded. And you just have to take it. And what Jesus was saying, but if you got slapped with an open hand, that is something you would do to your equal and challenging them, almost like a duel. So what he was trying to say is, listen, make them, the person who is doing the offending, make them see you as an equal. So that's why you're turning the other cheek. You're making them see you as a person, not as somebody underneath them. The same with when you walk a mile, when the soldier comes and tells you to carry his stuff for a mile, actually, at first they could make them carry their stuff as long as they wanted. And then that was getting abused. So they said, you can only make them carry your stuff for a mile. And Jesus says, well, when they do that, walk 2 miles. Mm-hmm. The reason why, because after that first mile, you can look at the guy and say, hey, you know, and looks like you need some help. Would you like me to carry your stuff for another mile? You're reversing the roles. Now you're in charge. You're peacefully protesting in a way.
Yeah.
And the other one that I didn't get, but now I get it, is when it says, when they try to take your shirt, give them your tunic too. And you're thinking, oh, well, great. These people are supposed to freeze to death now. No, not at all. The common practice was for them to take the tunic, because there was a law that if when it was cold, you had to return the tunic to the person so they didn't freeze to death. This is in the Bible, guys, okay? I'm not making it up. But if you take their shirt, you never had to return it, and you could have to go around with this itchy thing all the time, and it was a way for the person to punish you without everybody else knowing. So it was a way of kind of making a public scene of, oh, really? You want my shirt? Well, take my tunic too, because obviously you're just taking stuff from me to take stuff. It was actually all of these things that people used to show Jesus as a pushover and a doormat was a way that he was peacefully protesting. And you have to understand the culture to know this. I know that was a lot. I'm sorry. I could go on, but I'll let it go. Thanks, Coach. Right. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to get across. He was not portraying to be a pushover. He was portraying find a different way to get through to people.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Last night, Sherry and I and Eileen and Jim went to the school board meeting. I took them the legislation from the Louisiana case, the law printed out and gave it to them. And I told them, I says, I did you a big favor here by printing this up, because if you go online and try to find it,
you've got to wade through about five pages. And the first five pages are telling you that the number one threat to America is a nuclear strike. The second one is posting the Ten Commandments in schoolrooms, right? The left is just petrified that this might happen.
Amen.
But Coach, I've learned from you and others that I don't make out any preconceived, I don't write stuff down on a piece of paper. I found out if I don't hide it in my heart and I take it to them from my heart, they won't receive it. Mm. So I asked God to give me something, an illustration. So this is the illustration I gave them. And I got this driving home from Sky High. I noticed as I'm driving, we all went to driver's training. First, we had some curriculum. Then we went, the driver's ed teacher took us out there and tried to show us, you know, how to, you know, navigate through the roads. Then we went on. We got our driver's license. But at the end of that training, what did they usually show you? They showed you this horrific, they put these graphics up there and say, hey, guys, if you don't abide by these rules, this is what can happen.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
Yep.
And so I said, so here I am driving home, and some people are abiding by the law. Some people are pushing a little bit. We've seen a couple of people racing, doing good 30 mile an hour over. You're risking their own life and other people's lives. But then all of a sudden, here come a trooper come merging onto the highway, right? And as soon as he comes on, what happens? All the brakes go on. Everybody's driving their best that they can do, following all of the laws. And I said, that's kind of what the Ten Commandments are. It's a reminder that there's laws, there's rules and regulations by life that we have to live. But I said, what I find strange is, and God tells us, if you don't abide by these rules and these laws, outside of Christ's grace, the end is going to end up way worse than those pictures we showed you in driver's training.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we hiding this from this from our children? Why are we not warning them like we did in driver's ed? Hey, you don't follow these rules, it's going to end up like this.
So I just thank God, right?
He gave me that illustration. And thanks, Jeff Klein, for all the encouragement you've given me to go. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage everyone else. Hey, you get 3 to 5 minutes every month to go and share the gospel with your school board meeting. Take advantage of it.
Thank God for guardrails, right, baby? Huh? The gospel's guardrails. They're not punishment. Oh, good word, Dave. Thanks. Judah.
Coach, it says that, the promise of persecution.
That's what it says.
There's also the promise that God is going to hear our prayers and he's going to follow through and come through. Mm-hmm. Those people who stand in faith is absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible to see that Paul be persecuted for his belief. And then to see yesterday, Julian Assange, the ultimate whistleblower, to be released, and the entire world to be able to understand the topics that he gave to the world to set the captives free. We are living in an exciting time, folks.
Amen.
We're living in an exciting time. And Julian Assange is going to bring the Seth Rich topic to the world to understand what the Uniparty was doing. Prayers do come true, folks.
It's something's happening here, right? Not what it is ain't exactly clear. Amen. Look, I know some of you get in there, but I just heard from the Holy Spirit, and I got to get this up. So I'm sending it to you right now. Spencer, throw this up on the screen real quick. I'll get to you, Jeff. I'll get to you, Joe. Hang on there. Roger, you still got your hand up. I didn't know if you wanted to come back in. But I remember when I was going through my mess years ago. I go through a mess all the time. This really inspired me. Did you get a Spence? There you go. The Fellowship of the Unashamed. Fellowship of the Unashamed. I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set. My gate is straight. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, you'll have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear.
Amen. Hmm.
Joe Allen, come on in, Joe.
I'll go on the after show, Coach.
Okay. Jeff.
Coach, that was good. We need to print that out, and we need to just read that every day to ourselves.
Yep.
Just that was great.
By the way, Jeff, hang on. It says the author of this work was a Rwandan man in 1980 who was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or face certain death. He refused to renounce Christ and was killed on the spot. The night before he had written this commitment, the Fellowship of the Unashamed, which was found in his room. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I shared this with you briefly and shared with a couple people yesterday. So right as of yesterday, with Tom Condit being here, it was a good day for me and Tom to be together. Great day. So I got, this has hit me the last couple of days now since the weekend down there. We got to do this Ten Commandments. So yesterday I got Tom Condit on board, constitutional Christian attorney. He's ready. He's fired up about this thing. He's coming to the public square with us. Pastor Neil Peterson yesterday's fired up. He wants to do some videos, make this thing go viral. You know, he is with the video stuff. He can do that. Pastor Matt is on board. He was fired up last night. So today I'm going to reach at least two more pastors. Every day I'm going to try and reach two. Get them on board. I told Pastor Matt last night, because he was on the school board, and we've done them two couple years of school board meetings. I said, Matt, I'm going in here in the next week or two in these school board meetings. I've been telling him for a couple years, you know, woe unto you. And just giving them scripture. And they all look at me like I'm stupid. So now I'm going to go back in and I'm going to tell them. Say, listen to me. I've been trying to tell you. I told you a year and a half ago, we were rescued to rescue. Why are we not? It's like, now we're going to rescue. I know you people are too cowardly to do this because you're going to lose your jobs, but we're doing you a favor. We're going to bring the Ten Commandments into these classrooms. So hang on, hold on tight. And I've told them over the years, every one of you people in these school boards sitting in here in Fredericktown, Mount Vernon, East Knox, and Danville, all four schools, you all say you believe in God. You all sit in a church in the area. So now go share with everybody. You don't have to do the dirty work. We'll do it for you. But get on board with us. Don't be against us. Help us rescue these kids.
So, Jeff, wasn't it the Apostle Paul? I don't know where I'm pulling this phrase out. Doesn't matter. Follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. Folks, would Jesus Christ, if he was to show up today in your town, would he go to a school board meeting?
Oh yeah.
Huh? Would he go to Planned Parenthood? Would he go confront these forces of darkness? Or would he just sit down by the river and comb his hair?
And he would be at the gates.
He would meet you at the gates of hell. See, that's the gospel of the kingdom. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. We are his ambassadors to a foreign country. And it's a foreign country filled with the enemy. And our job is to go earnestly contend for the faith and draw those in who the Lord has drawn. And hiding in the church and church services and worship services and stupid messages about prosperity. That's all a different gospel. It's gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. See you tomorrow.